Genesis, Exodus, then what? Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 26. And we're going to read one verse. We're going to read verse 12. We'll pray and then get into the message this evening. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 12. All together, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. Thank you, Father, for this verse. Help us learn some things about your walking with us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, I spoke on walking with God. And tonight I want to bring a message on when God walks with us. When God walks with us. Notice the first six words that God speaks in our text verse. It says, and I will walk among you. Now walking with God is to be in his presence, be in agreement with him, fellowshipping with him, living a life pleasing to him, and making continual spiritual progress. But here we read that God is willing to walk with us. Now let me be clear. God doesn't always walk with us. In fact, our bad behavior will drive him away from us and cause him to walk contrary to us, as he will thwart our plans, block our efforts, and chasten us. If we walk contrary to him, we can expect him to walk contrary to us. Notice in verse 23 and 24, this same chapter, it ensures us that this is exactly what will happen. It reads as follows. And if ye will not be reformed by me, by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk what? Contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. Yes, I want us to grasp there are some things that we as believers can do that'll cause God to walk with us. So yes, we should always choose to have a faithful walk with God. But there are things we can choose to do that will also cause him to walk with us. Now I want you to give you two reasons why God chooses to walk with us. Number one, sometimes God wants to walk with us because we behave in a manner where he can reward us with his presence. Number two, sometimes he walks with us because of adverse circumstances. When he sees that we are in trouble or we are in need, his compassion draws him close to our side and he walks with us through those difficulties. He either walks with us to reward us or out of his compassion toward us. So with these things in mind, I want to give you seven scriptural reasons when God walks with us. Number one, sometimes God chooses to walk with those who have an unusual desire or need to walk with him. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, we're going to read a rather large section of scripture here in verse 13 through 32. Luke 24, verse 13 through 32. Now notice what it says. And behold, two of them went that day, that same day, to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, notice this, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that he also, that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh to the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now Emmaus was a small village about 8 miles from Jerusalem. Now these two men, they were discouraged. Their hopes had been dashed as they believed that Jesus was no longer alive, even though they were told differently. They talked about what happened to the Lord. They would have said things about his arrest in Gethsemane, his betrayal by Judas, him being denied by Peter, his mistreatment in the high priest's house, how they mocked him and smote him and spake blasphemous words against him. They would have discussed how Pilate caved in to mob rule and did not uphold Roman justice. They couldn't believe that the Roman governor sentenced Jesus to be crucified, even though he said, I find no fault in him. They would have been incredulous at Herod and the soldiers who mocked him for his kingship and robed him in a gorgeous purple robe, placing a crown of thorns upon his head and beating Jesus with a rod. They would have spoken about how the crowd chose Barabbas and condemned this one that was condemned for murder over Jesus, who knew no sin, did no evil. They would have mentioned the whippings our Lord withstood, the ruthlessness of the crowds as he carried his cross through the streets of Jerusalem on the way to Calvary, how they nailed him to the cross, the anguish and the pain that he was in, how he cried out from the cross, and just prior to dying, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. For them, the expectancy of Jesus redeeming Israel was over. And even though they heard that his tomb was empty, and an angel announced that he was alive, they seemed to know differently. They realized he was gone, and they were awful lonely without him, and they were in dire need of comfort, and they longed for fellowship. Then notice in their need, we read in verse 16, that Jesus drew near and went with them. God wants us to long to be with him. And there is no doubt that when he sees one craving his presence in their time of discouragement, disappointment, and doubt, he's going to show up and he's going to walk with them. He saw the grief of these two men and he drew near to them and he walked with them as they made their way to Emmaus. I know for myself, there have been times in my life when I was discouraged, when I needed comfort, and I longed to have a friend that was close by my side that I could talk to about things that had taken place in my life. And it was then I felt the presence of God. I have no doubt God chose to walk with me because he knew how much I needed him at that time. No one else knew what I was going through, the disappointment that I had felt, how the hopes I had seemingly were shattered. But then there came Jesus. He knew what I was going through. And in his compassion and in his sympathy, he was there for me and walked me through the whole entire process. I'm sure that others could testify that during their loneliness, during their disappointments, their times of hopelessness. They found one who walked alongside them down their own Emmaus road. And thank God he is by our side and that he's there to comfort us with his word. For he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Number two, God walks with those who have chosen to separate themselves from the unholy. Notice what it says, and turn with me there to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. Here we read this. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and what? Walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now you can mark it down. God will walk with those who will separate themselves from things that are contrary to himself. If we want God to walk with us, we need to come out. We need to be separate. We need to touch not the unholy thing. If we stand for and put in practice holy living, we will have God walking with us. When we decide for righteousness over unrighteousness, for light over darkness, for Christ over Belial or the devil, and the temple of God over idols, we are told, I will dwell in them and walk in them. God likes to fellowship and walk in those who will come out and separate themselves and touch not the unclean thing. Now, there have been times when I have had to separate from others because they do not stand where I do on the scriptures. I remember there was a big battle years ago over the whether the King James Bible was inspired or not. Now, I don't know why the battle raged. The Bible does say that the scriptures are inspired. You know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It didn't say it was. And these people made a big issue of whether God's word was actually spoken by him, and it still has the power that it once did, and it's not just contained in the originals. Well, these people that took the wrong side on the issue and I had a problem. And that problem was, I'm staying loyal to the word of God. I'm going to stay loyal to what thus saith the Lord. And all you rest of you knuckleheads, you can go your own way, but I'm sticking with the truth. My loyalty remains with the book, not with the bonds of friendship. When others practice and promote things that are contrary to what God has said in his word, it will not keep me from holding firm to the written voice of God. When others go worldly, I'm going to continue to live in a righteous manner. I can't keep others from leaving the old paths where are the good things, but I can go the way that God would have me to go. When I choose to separate from the unholy, a holy God decides he's going to walk with me. When I got saved, Connie and I did some house cleaning. Amen? Now, we often talk about spring cleaning. Now, I'm talking about saved cleaning. You know what? When we started growing in the Lord, we had a house cleaning. We threw out an idol. I didn't even know it was an idol. But it happened to be a fertility god that I bought when I was in Alaska. We poured all the alcohol in our home down the drain. We got rid of the rock music. We destroyed our cigarettes. We threw out ungodly books, changed out our wardrobes, became more selective in our TV viewing. For we did not want anything in our home or in our lives that would keep God from walking with us. Perhaps it's time for some of us to take out the rubbish out of our homes. I wonder what God would approve in your CD or DVD collection, or what he would approve of in your CD collection, or what your library is composed of, what you're watching on TV, what's in your refrigerator. I don't care what you got, but I'm telling you, don't think God's going to walk with you when you're living in an unholy manner. He said, come out and be as separate and touch not the unclean thing. Don't think for a moment that God's going to walk with unclean people. Number three, God will walk with those who fulfill the Great Commission. He will walk with those who fulfill the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, we read this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Notice the next phrase. Lo, I am with you, what? Even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now that word always means the whole way. It means every step of the way. So when we are out there soul winning, spreading the gospel, fishing for men, involved in the ministry of reconciliation, God is walking with us. You know, as a young preacher, now you may think that this is crazy, but I was scared to death to stand behind a pulpit. I'll never forget the first time I preached. It was at Elkinberry Independent Baptist Church. And I got behind that pulpit, man, I was sweating. My stomach was doing gymnastics. My knees were buckling. And if someone would have said boo, I'd have fell over. I told them everything I knew in 17 minutes, and I told them three times over. I was a bit apprehensive. Even today, I get like that once in a while. I get nervous when I get behind the pulpit. Amen. But the day came when I read that I wasn't there alone. And when I was declaring God's truth that Jesus was with me. You know, it is written in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You know, I was so grateful for that verse. I realized for the first time that when I stood behind a pulpit, I didn't stand there alone. It wasn't me against everybody else. I don't think that's the case anymore anyways. There's just a few of you. But anyways, I realized that God was there with me. And you know what? That made all the difference in the world in how I approach the pulpit ministry. Listen, some of you do not spread the gospel because of fear. But may I remind you that when you spread the gospel, you are not alone. For when you tell another how to be saved, Jesus is with you every step of the way. You know, God's desire for sinners is that they might be saved. And he walks by our side to help him fulfill that which he desires others to have. So what a joy is it to know that the Lord is walking with us as we give out the gospel for him. You know, every soul winner that I know of has felt the presence and the assistance of God as they point sinners to Jesus. Those of us who go door to door on Saturdays always go with another partner. But we need to recognize there's a third party that goes with us. And it is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. God walks with those who have an unusual desire for him. With those who come out and are separated. And those who are not willing to touch the unclean thing. And he also walks with those who are involved in the ministry of reaching others for Christ. Number four, God walks with those who have dedicated themselves to helping him accomplish his purposes. We read this in Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. And behold, I am with thee. Now, I want you to understand something. He's talking to Jacob here. And he says, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now, I've already mentioned that God walks with those who help him accomplish his purpose of seeking the lost. And although that's his main purpose, it's not his only purpose. This verse is in connection with the story of Jacob's ladder. Now, God appeared to Jacob in a dream, and he tells him in verse 14 of that chapter that he intended to bless the whole earth by his seed. Now, what was Jacob doing at this time? He's running away from his brother who's trying to kill him, all because he stole the blessing of the firstborn. He then said that since he was using Jacob to accomplish that purpose, that he would be with Jacob everywhere he went. Today, God wants our families to bring honor to him. He wants parents to train up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He wants our marriage to exemplify the relationship that Christ has with the church. He wants our homes to be built on the sure foundation of his word. I believe we can learn from the story of Jacob's ladder that if we place ourselves into the purposes of God and dedicate ourselves to help him accomplish those things, he will be with us, he will walk with us, and we will enjoy his presence in doing so. Number five, God will walk with those who choose to be satisfied with their lot in life. You know, so many believers I know think they deserve better than what they have. But aren't we supposed to learn to be content? Shouldn't we be thankful for what we have? Hebrews 13:5 tells us this. Listen carefully. Let your conversation. You say, what's that? Is that your speech? No, that's talking about your manner of life. Be without what? Covetousness. That's what it says. And be content. Be what? Content with such things as you what? Have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor what? Forsake thee. Now I want you to realize that no Christian should ever be satisfied with where they are spiritually. We are to always be pressing on the upward way, nor should we ever be satisfied in our service for the Lord, for there is always something more that can be done. Should we not want to win more souls? Should we not want to give more to the Lord's work? Should we not be a better servant for Christ? However, we ought to be satisfied with our lot in life. Whether God chooses us to give us wealth or to withhold it from us, we are to be content and we are not to be covetous. Whether we live in a big house or a small house, we ought to be thankful to God. Paul was such a person, and he wrote this in a letter to Philippians in chapter 4, verse 11. He writes, "Not that I speak in respect of want." Oh. You see that? He wasn't always wanting more and more and more. "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am," whether he was in Iowa or Colorado. "Therewith to be what? Content." Paul is saying here, whatever my circumstances are in my life, I am satisfied in them if that's where God wants me to be and if that's what he wants me to have. There are several places in Scripture where we are commanded to be content. Contentment is a godly quality in the life of a Christian, and it causes God to walk with us as he will not forsake us. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, it says this, "And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." Food and what? Yeah. What would you put in there? What would it take for you to be content? Would it be food? Would it be raiment? Or would it be that 100-inch screen, big screen TV? Would it be the latest fashions? Would it be the big house up in the Broadmoor? Would it be that fancy new car? Or can you just be content with what God has given you? Verse 6 of that very same chapter says, but godliness with what? Contentment is great gain. Now, do you think you can be godly if you're not content? I don't think so. If you are one who is covetous, you'll never be satisfied because you have an insatiable appetite for always having more. You will always want bigger, better, have an unhealthy eagerness to acquire things and keep them. One who covets doesn't possess things. Things possess them. Should we not make our material possessions immaterial and be content with what we have, but never with what we are as believers in Christ? We should be content because our Lord is with us. But likewise, we can be assured that God enjoys walking with those who are content with whatever lot He has appointed in their life. You know, we need to heed the words of the Savior who warned us, take heed and beware of covetousness. We need to learn to be content. Sometimes God chooses to walk with those who long to be with Him, with those who come out and separate themselves and touch not the unclean thing. He walks with those who bring others to Christ, who commit themselves to helping Him accomplish His purposes, to those who are satisfied with their lot in life. And number 6, God will walk with us in the fire when we take a stand with Him. Amen. Notice Daniel chapter 3, verse 22 through 25. Now I want you to know these guys didn't get in trouble all on their own. It wasn't because of what they did wrong that caused them to be thrown in the furnace of fire. It was their stand for what was right and a stand for God. Notice what it says. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. What does it say? Walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, set up a golden image, and he demanded that everyone in his entire domain would worship the image when the music was played, or they would be cast into a fiery furnace. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego determined that they were not going to worship any other god except the one true God of Israel. Being faithful to their convictions, they refused to bow before this golden idol, and they refused to bend, and they were tossed into the furnace of fire, and they did not burn. And the king looks into that fire, and he says, man, I see a fourth man walking with these three Hebrew men. And the fourth one happened to be who? The Son of God. At times, we will all have to take a stand for God and for right, or fold like a cheap suit. We need to take a stand for what is right in our homes. We need to take a stand for what is right in our church. We need to take a stand amongst our friends and on our jobs. Sometimes it's going to cost us, but we should never compromise or refuse to do right, no matter what will happen to us. We need to remember, even though we may stand alone, there is a God who is with us, God who is for us, and He will walk by our side through it all. So take your stand. He will stand with you in the way, and he will go through it with you all the way. Number seven, this is my last point. God walks with us as we walk through valleys. God walks with us as we walk through valleys. Psalm 23, verse 4, familiar verse to all of us that read our Bibles on a regular basis or in church on a regular basis. It tells us this: yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, what? Art with me. You know, the Christian life, whether we like it or not, is made up of valleys and it is made up of mountains. In the Old Testament, you read about the children of Israel. They were in a battle with the Syrians. And the Syrians said, you know what? The God of Israel was just a God of the hills, but he's not a God of the valleys. Well, God delivered the Syrians into the hands of the Israelites to show the Syrians that he is indeed the God of the valleys. Now, it's quite enjoyable to be on the mountaintop and dwelling in God's presence. But oftentimes, he'll draw even closer to us when we're in the valley. It was in the valley that David said he would fear no evil because God was with him. Now, it makes no difference what valley we may be going through. Even if we're going through the valley of death, as long as God is walking with us. Walking with God is one of the most important things we can do as believers. And if we were honest, we would have to admit that God has been more likely to walk with us than we are to walk with him. When we walk with God, we demonstrate our agreement with him. And when he walks with us, he does so to reward us with his presence. So let's determine to have a closer walk with him, and then recognize his presence as he walks with those who long to be with him, with those who come out and are separated and refuse to touch the unclean thing, with those who spread the gospel, are committed to helping him accomplish his purposes, those who are satisfied with their lot in life, and those who take a stand for him, and those who are led by him into a valley. Let's not take God for a walk. Let's walk with God, and let's so live as he will walk with us. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.